if you then be risen with Christ, if you're risen with Christ, if you're a Christian, seek those things which are from above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things in this earth. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things which are above, not on things in this earth. The issue for us as Christians is this. What are we minding? What are we seeking? Where are our affections? If our affections are focused on the things of this life, guess what? Our affections are set on the things of the flesh. If our minds are always thinking about the things of this life, guess what? We're minding the things of the flesh. If the things we're seeking have only to do with this life, we're seeking the things of the flesh. We're after the flesh, and we're minding the things of the flesh. We're carnally minded, and we're going to end up dead spiritually if we don't change. It's that simple. That's why, this is why Christians, when Christians ask such dumb questions like, they'll say, oh, is it a sin to go roller skating? Let me see. Is it a sin to watch football or baseball? Is it a sin to watch a clean movie? That reveals they don't have any idea what being a Christian is all about. They don't have any idea what redemption is all about. The issue isn't whether or not these things are sins. The issue is, are they part of the new creation? Are they part of the new creation? If you understand, if you can see that they're not part of the new creation, then why would you want to waste your time, the time you've been given? See, we've been given the time to learn how to walk in new creation in this life. God's given us time and is willing to teach us to walk in the new creation now. That's what salvation is. That's what redemption is. Changing the soul from this image to that image and perfection, all that. That's going from one creation to the old new creation. It's going from the old creation to the new creation. And we're supposed to learn how to walk in the new creation now. So if you understand all these things are not part of the new creation, then why would you want to waste the time you've been given here to learn how to walk in new creation on things that are part of the old creation? Why would you want to waste your time on things that can't possibly help you come forth in Christ? I mean, why would you partake of things that not only can't give you any spiritual life, but can produce spiritual death in you? Why would people choose to walk in the flesh realm? After the things of the flesh. Why? Well, the first reason is, so many Christians do that, is because they have no idea what the flesh is. They think the flesh is just the works mentioned in Galatians 6. So they're just making sure they don't fornicate and do adultery and lie and all that. Okay? The second reason is they're not being taught that the whole old creation, this whole first creation, is of the flesh realm. It's part of the flesh. The whole thing is part of the flesh realm. Neither are they being taught that the time to learn how to walk in the new creation, which is totally different to the first creation, is now. See, because of all the errors they're taught week in and week out at these churches, and even out here, you know, they don't think they have to learn to walk in the new creation now. They think they're just going to automatically start walking in the new creation by grace after they die or at the rapture when they go to heaven. See, they're told either implicitly or explicitly that they can't actually walk in the new creation today. So you might as well just enjoy their old creation life as much as possible. But of course, without going overboard, we don't want to go and sin now. Just, you don't want to go overboard and sin, but you can enjoy the old creation as much as possible, you know, without sinning. And that's exactly what most Christians do. Exactly. They end up minding the things of this natural life. They end up seeking the things of this natural life. They end up saying their affections on the things of this natural life. They end up minding, seeking, saying their affections on the things of the flesh. And they don't know it because they think the flesh is all this evil wickedness that's listed in Galatians. And the result is exactly what the Bible warned us it would be. They're dying spiritually. They're dying by the truckloads. And don't assume it's just the false teachers inside the system like Joel Osteen. Okay, they're encouraging God's people to live in the first creation. Maybe those who then become religious teachers out here, outside the system, do the same thing. Or they do it under the guise of maintaining their spiritual liberty. They don't tell you can't walk in new creation. This is a whole different issue. They spin it as an issue of liberty, spiritual liberty. Right? One Bible teacher in particular distorts the meaning of what Paul said about some people eat meat, some people eat vegetables, and some people worship this day, and some people have another day. He takes that whole scripture and turns it on its head to make it some it's not. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to show you how this guy does this. It's Romans 14, 1 through 6. And in so doing, he's encouraging people to live in the first realm, the flesh realm, the first creation man, okay? Romans 14, 1 through 6. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, okay? But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth it not, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Okay? The doubtful disputations here that Paul's referring to in his teaching is very clearly said to be questions of food and holy days. All right, that these are specific issues regarding how a person worships God. You're going to worship God on a Saturday. You're going to worship God on a Sunday. You go every day alike, you know, and are we going to eat unclean foods or clean foods, all that kind of stuff. Okay, these are issues of worship. How are you going to worship God? Paul never meant us to take what he said there and turn it into a spiritual principle that applies to anything and everything that isn't specifically nailed down and called sin or forbidden in the Scripture. Okay? In other words, if someone should ask Paul if roller skating was acceptable or if he considered it a sin, Paul wouldn't refer that person to this passage. You know, he wouldn't say, well, now this is a doubtful disputation. Okay? Paul wouldn't say, well, that's a doubtful disputation. And we can't judge each other. We can't know if it's wrong or right. Nobody knows but God. He wasn't creating a special category for things that are not specifically forbidden in the Scripture, but which we can feel free to indulge in under the guise of maintaining our liberty, our spiritual liberty, right? Remember, this is the same Paul, the same guy said this in Galatians. For brethren, you have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Use not liberty for an occasion to your flesh, but love and serve one another. That's Galatians 5:13. See, that's exactly what that Bible teacher is doing. He's using his liberty as an occasion for the flesh, and he was called out regarding it. He was called out regarding the hypocrisy he was walking in. He cried, legalism. Oh, legalism. And he gave a 45-minute discourse on how people are trying to put him under the law and force him to conform to their religious standard, okay? And then he used this passage to support his self-justification, okay? Based on what Paul said there regarding foods and holy days, which had to do with your worship of God, how you worship God. What he said was, things that are not explicitly forbidden or called sin in the Bible, like playing cards, dancing, watching sports, they fall under the, quote, doubtful disputations category. Okay? They all fall under this doubtful disputations. We're not supposed to argue with them. So in his eagerness to justify his own flesh, he basically told his followers that unless the things they wanted to indulge in are explicitly forbidden in the Bible or called sin, then every man is free to do what's right in his own eyes. That's his idea of Christian liberty. So, when somebody asks him a question like, well, is it sin to go roller skating, or is it a sin to watch football or basketball, or is it a sin to watch clean movies? You know, his answer is going to be, don't you? His answer is going to be, receive not one another into doubtful disputations. If the Bible doesn't forbid it or call it sin, and if you feel like it's okay with you, then I certainly have no problem with it. I'm not going to judge what God is or isn't allowing in your life. And that sounds all very spiritual and all very wonderful. But it's not. It's the flesh. See, that, if that Bible teacher really cared about the people he was teaching, he wouldn't be telling them things like playing cards, dancing, and watching sports fall under the category of doubtful disputations, and therefore nobody can really judge whether they're right or wrong. He'd be telling them the truth. And the truth is that even though those things may not be sin, they certainly aren't spiritually profitable because they're not part of the new creation. They're not part of the new creation. They're part of the flesh realm. And they have nothing to do with learning how to walk in that new creation. Nothing. But he'll never say that. Of course, that would expose his own flesh. And he had to quit doing what he's doing. I'm winding down. I turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Paul says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Okay? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? So Paul says we're to be looking at things which are not seen with the physical eyes, but at things which can only be seen with the spiritual eyes. So now we have the idea of looking at spiritual things as opposed to natural things. That can be added to the concepts of seeking, minding, and setting your affections on spiritual things. Look at your spiritual things. Seek at your spiritual things. Mind spiritual things. Set your affection on spiritual things, okay? It's truly unfortunate. That's the second creation. Spiritual things is the new creation. The second creation, all right? And it's truly unfortunate that God's people are being encouraged different ways and different guises to walk in the first creation instead of what Paul said we should be doing, which is walking in the second creation. Okay? When you walk after the first creation, you're walking after the flesh. You're walking after the flesh realm, the whole flesh realm. I mean, that by itself, just doing that by itself is dangerous and deadly. All right? But when you add the problem of unclean spirits that move through the flesh, when you're walking in the flesh, when you're walking according to flesh, then you've just magnified the problem 100 times, you see? See, when we understand that living in the first creation is the same as living in the flesh, living in the flesh realm, and that's the same as just walking in the flesh and walking according to the flesh, minding things of the flesh, searching after things of the flesh. And it gives the spirits a place in our lives, and it doesn't have to be sin. We're not talking about sin here. I mean, a spirit can keep your mind on your work. You ever go to work 8 hours, and then come home, and all night long, things are popping into your head about your work. You forgot to do this. You forgot to do that. Tomorrow you have to do this. You have to write this out. You have to see this guy. You have to make this phone call. Now, if you come home from work and you forgot something important has to be done that night, that's fine. That's one thing. But if you just come home and your mind's all on your work and what you all things you're going to do tomorrow and blah, 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 blah. And, hey, guess what? You're walking into the flesh, people. That's walking into the flesh. That's all I can say. And that can be done with anything about natural life. Anything in your natural life could be done like that. And spirits can intensify it and keep your mind on those things. Keep pumping thoughts in your brains about this and about that. And before you know it, the whole day was spent on things in the natural life. Maybe not sin, maybe not evil, but the natural man, the flesh realm, the things that are seen, okay? That's the danger of not understanding what flesh is. The flesh isn't only bad things and evil works and lusts. The flesh includes this whole Adamic realm. And Jesus died on a cross to deliver us from this realm of the flesh, just as he died to deliver us from sin. Now you know why so many Christians, of today's Christians, who are not real big sinners and who seem like good people, they never grow. They never mature spiritually. They've been deceived into thinking the flesh is just what's listed there in Galatians 6. They don't understand that the flesh includes the whole damn creation, the whole first creation, the whole first man. They don't realize the flesh includes this natural life. So they walk after the things of the flesh without realizing, and they never grow up in Christ. And many of them are dying spiritually on top of that. Paul said, if we live after the flesh, we will die. He could have just as easily said, if we live after the natural things of this life, eating, sleeping, working, playing, reproducing, we will die. Because it's the same thing. That's flesh. It's not wrong to sleep, but it's wrong to seek sleep all the time. It's wrong to live after sleep. It's wrong to be thinking about sleeping. You understand what I'm saying? It's not wrong to eat, but it's wrong to have your mind on food all the time. It's wrong to overeat. Okay? It's very easy to walk in the flesh regarding innocuous, neutral, even God-given things. If we want to grow spiritually, if we want to be free from these spirits, this avenue of the flesh, moving through the flesh, going to get our minds off of this natural life as much as possible. Now, we ought to work. We have to do things. That's not saying you shouldn't lay around and do nothing. Don't take care of your house. Don't take care of your car. Don't work. We have to do things. But you don't have to be focused on them all the time. You don't have to be seeking them all the time. There's a difference. And I think people know that. I think you know what I'm talking about here. Okay? I'm not talking about being a monk living in a cave. Okay? I'm talking, what are you seeking? Where are your affections? What's your mind on all day? See, the natural realm, this natural life is part of the flesh realm. It's part of the flesh realm, people. It's part of the first creation. We have to set our affections on things above. We have to be looking at things that are unseen. We just start minding the things of the Spirit. Because if we don't, we become easy prey for these spirits who are seeking to deliver, destroy us and hinder us and deceive us. That's just the way it is. So the flesh is more than just the sins of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. Okay, the flesh is a whole flesh realm. And God wants us walking out of that realm as much as possible. In the second creation, in the new man, in the spirit. Okay? I think that's about it. I didn't have a whole lot tonight. But I want to touch on the flesh as an avenue for spirits to move through. Okay? Okay. I think that's about it. Short knocker. Hey, you. He says, so then a carnal Christian who walks after the flesh? I didn't quite understand what he's saying. Oh, is a carnal Christian a person who walks after the flesh? There's a type of carnal Christian that Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that you're carnal, right? Because you bicker, you fight. Carnal Christian is also a baby Christian. Or in Hebrews, he talks about baby Christian needs milk. Or when Peter says, seek the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I don't know if he's talking about the same thing there. I think it might be a little bit different. Or else Peter would have just said, hey, grow up before you die. You're going to die if you don't, hurry up, get off the milk, you're going to die. Because I think it's a time for people to be baby Christians. You're allowed to be baby Christians when they're supposed to be baby Christians. They're not going to die. All right? They need milk. They give them milk. God gives them milk. But that's not what, doesn't seem like that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, you live after the flesh, you're going to die. And if you're carnally minded, you're going to die. So to me, that's a different kind of category. That's all I can tell you. I can't prove it, and maybe I'm wrong. Okay, but your teacher today has given me a deeper understanding of what it means to walk in spirit. Okay, great. Good, you. Not all the stuff. I'm not clear to everything. I'm sorry. Okay, good. Anybody else have anything? Oh, good. Praise the Lord, High Dog. That's right. That's right. It's terrible. The pastors aren't teaching people what flesh is. And the difference between the whole first creation, new creation, all the stuff that's just so horrible. They say it's okay. Just live in the carnal, fleshly realm now. Live in the first creation now. Live as a natural man now. Believe in Jesus, and when you die, you go to heaven. That's the message. They're missing the whole purpose of redemption. Do you wonder why I get upset at these preachers and teachers and Bible teachers? Why? Yes, I go apoplectic sometimes because what they're doing to God's people. Well, of course, now it takes two to tango. God's people probably don't want to know the truth. Amen. That's why it's two fronts. I've always said that it's a two front battle, and neither of them are a silver bullet. Death to self is not a silver bullet. Being delivered, getting delivered, getting prayed and cast demons out of you ain't a silver bullet. Hey, Bill. Well, it's better late than never. I don't know if I'm going to give you a golden star or not. You can make the very end. Silver star, yeah. Give me a silver star. Let's see. Next week we're going to have open mic night, so you guys put something together if you have anything. Take a chance. Be bold. And the week after that, I'm going to finish this series. I'm going to talk about religious demons, specifically religious demon spirits, because that's the spirit we're facing right now. That's the one that's really the most dangerous. The one we really, really got to get our eyes open to is this Antichrist spirit. All right? That's a whole different kind of category than what I've been talking about. I'm going to end the series with that. And also, somebody's going to have a testimony. Maybe I'll play it next week, or maybe I'll play it when I do that thing on the religious spirit, because a brother who's been listening to my stuff off the web said he'd like to share a testimony how he got involved with that spirit years ago, how God's delivering him. So I don't know if I should play that next week during the open mic, or I'll play it when I do my religious spirit thing, but we'll see. Anyway, so it'll be interesting. That's what I'm going to do at the open mic. That's the last one, part of this series I'm going to do. Next week I'm going to take a break, and we'll have open mic, give somebody else a chance to speak up and share what God's doing in your life. I know God's doing stuff in your life. Don't be afraid to share. And if you share something you want me to take out of the message, you don't want it publicized or whatever, just tell me. Share it and say, Dan, would you erase that? And I'll erase it. No problem. We'll go out over the web and all that. But put something together and share. What's the Lord doing in your life? Okay, anybody else have anything? How's Joy Boy? Oh, no, I haven't seen Joy Boy for a while. Yeah, he's been here for a couple weeks. I haven't talked to him for a couple weeks either. I sent him some songs, and I had 2 or 3 weeks ago, he asked me for some songs with some guitar chords. I think he's trying to learn the guitar. So I sent him a half a dozen songs he requested with the chords on them. So I don't think he's dead or anything. He might be busy. Say hi, Sister Annabelle. Okay, Holly Dog says hi, Ma. She says hi back. Yeah, she's in the other room. She sits and listens to me in the other room. Bill says he got a question, but he can't find his mic. You want to type it in? If you have your mic? Okay, looks like Bill found his mic. Go ahead there, Bill. You got the mic.
All right. I recently lost my brother earlier this week. He was murdered. And to make a long story short, the church went to my mom, and the church that she attended went to my mom, and they basically told her that his murder was ordained from the foundation of the world, you know, that predestination, their version of predestination. And I remember the study we had on the sovereignty of God and his foreknowledge, and I didn't want to try to correct them to her right then, but I don't think that his murder was predained or ordained by God before the foundation of the world. I think, like the teaching says, that the path was set out, the road was set out, and everybody make their choices. And even though God is in control, God foresaw that this was going to happen, but he didn't ordain it to happen. He didn't tell this guy, okay, at 7:25 p.m. on Wednesday, I want you to go and rob this man at this ATM machine. The thing was that this guy made a choice to go do it. God didn't ordain it. God didn't cause it, but he foresaw it. Am I correct in saying that? I really felt bad that they, amen. But you know what? And I know God doesn't, he's not the author of sin, but it's somewhere in one of the scriptures, I think it's in Psalms or somewhere, he said, I create good and I create evil. I am the Lord. Something, I know somebody know what scripture I'm talking about. He's what is that scripture? Can somebody? Yes, right. Okay. So when he said he create evil, is he talking about the fact that, you know, he created Satan and Satan is evil, but he don't create evil things to happen. He don't, like Short Knocker said, he's not the creator of evil. He doesn't cause evil. So I just, you know, I'm getting the question mumbo jumbo. I'll probably email you again later, Dan, but I just want to get that straight, that I knew that God didn't, and my mom's taking comfort in the fact that God saw fit to take my brother at this day, and it's not like that. It's the fact that this guy made a choice to go rob my brother, and God had nothing to do with it. This guy made a choice, and I just wanted to, you know, try to, you know, make it clearer to her at a later date, but I just wanted to make sure that I was saying the right thing. Thank you very much.
Well, Bill, I'm very sorry to hear that, brother. I'm sorry to hear that. Terrible. Was your brother a Christian? Can I ask you that? Was your brother saved?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not sure. I don't think he was, but he recently, okay, here go another thing that everybody, okay, check this out. Over the last, probably the last month, he went to visit his kids in Minneapolis. They had a good time. He went and visited a friend in St. Louis. Right after he visited his kids, they had a really good time. And a friend told my sister earlier this week that he went to church and he received Christ, blase, blase. And also, I lost an uncle at the beginning of this month. And me and my brothers and sisters, we all went to Detroit. And we all had a good time. We was in the truck and we talked about the old days, blase, blase. So when we was telling the pastor that, he would say God ordained that because he knew, you know, so he went along that same line. He said all that didn't happen by accident. It was divinely ordained. And I was sitting there shaking my head, but I couldn't come out to say what I wanted to say, but I didn't believe it. It just happened that way. It wasn't ordained or anything. But like I said, I don't think he would say personally, but I was told by his friend who he visited last week, or about less than a month ago, that they had a good time and they went to church and he got saved. So I don't know, but I'll go ahead with the mic.
I just wondered, you're right, what you say about God didn't ordain and all that. I'm sure he foreknew it because he foreknows everything, but that doesn't mean he ordained it. It doesn't want to mean his plan and all that. All right, so you're right about that. The thing about the Lord creates evil, I create evil, I know that. I think it was Isaiah. I'm not sure. Anyway, you look at that passage. What that's talking about, he's talking about the nation that's about to judge Israel. He's raising up the evil to judge the nation of Israel. It has nothing to do with Satan. He's not saying he creates evil in the sense that he created evil originally. He created Satan evil originally. None of that. That's all garbage. The context of the thing is very clear. He creates evil. He raises up nations to judge his people. He raises up people to judge his people. Okay, that's the evil he's talking about. He raises up nations like Babylon and Assyria to judge Israel. That's what he's talking about. That's the context of that verse. Yes. If you read that whole thing, the whole passage here, it's talking about people. He's talking about the nations. He raises up nations to judge Israel. Okay? God does not create evil. Now, he uses evil. He uses other people's evil and all kinds of stuff, but he doesn't create evil. And he doesn't need to create evil anyway. Evil is created just by not obeying him. Evil is created, okay?
When you ask if my brother was saved, I think when you was going to go on the line was that if my brother was born again, then God does ordain his steps if he follow him, if he choose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Is that the line that you were going to go on? And that's what I believe, that God does order our steps when we follow him. Right. When we choose to listen to the Spirit and follow God, then he ordains our steps. But other than that, I understand. And my wife, she was sitting here, and God bless her, because she's been very strong by me. But she just mentioned, what about the tormenting spirit that he sent to Saul? That was just another thing to judge Saul. The tormenting spirit is still not on the same line as creating evil, though. I don't think it is. I'm just a little fluttered right now, and I can't talk. I'm sorry, but I'm just going to go ahead with you, Dan. I'll probably email you later. Thank you.
That's no problem, brother. And I understand what your wife was questioning. That's a good question. That's no problem. He sent that spirit on him to judge him, though. It was a judgment. He didn't create that spirit. And he didn't create that spirit to do that to Saul. He just used it. He has to use evil to judge people. That's the difference than saying he created evil to begin with. He, like, created Satan evil and all that kind of stuff. That's not the way our God is. It's not the way our God is. God bless you, brother. I'm very sorry to hear that. And I'll be praying for you. And the Lord speaks to you, gives you wisdom to speak whatever you're supposed to speak, to whoever you're supposed to speak it to in this time. I'm sure everybody's going to be praying for you. It says your brother was 49 years old and a veteran. Is that right? Well, God's a perfect judge, and he's just, full justice. So I'm sure he'll treat your brother as he deserves. And only he knows what condition he was in when that happened. Yes, what happened to the guy that did it? Was he arrested and going to be, tried and all that? They found him in Detroit. 21 years old. All right. Well, look, you guys can keep him in prayer this week. And I'll be praying for him, too. The Lord strengthens him and his family. And anybody else before we leave, quick? Okay. Yeah, you're welcome, Sissy. God bless you. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week. Remember, open mic night. Bring something to share. Surely you have some kind of testimony. The Lord's good. We'll see you next week. God willing, the river don't rise.